First reading on the third Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 through 20. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sin, though you yourself will be saved. Son of man, say to the Israelites, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel? Therefore, son of man, say to your people, if someone who is righteous disobeys, that person's former righteousness will count for nothing. And if someone who is wicked repents, that person's former wickedness will not bring condemnation. The righteous person who sins will not be allowed to live, even though they were formerly righteous. If I tell a righteous person that they will surely live, but then they trust in their righteousness and do evil, none of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered. They will die for the evil they have done. And if I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, but they then turn away from their sin and do what is just and right, if they give back what they took in pledge for a loan, return what they have stolen, follow the decrees that give life, and do no evil, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the sins that a person has committed will be remembered against them. They have done what is just and right. They will surely live. Yet your people say, the way of the Lord is not just. But it is their way that is not just. If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, they will die for it. And if a wicked person turns away from their wickedness and does what is just and right, they will live by doing so. Yet you Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just, but I will judge each of you according to your own ways. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they were all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty? than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should I use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you this morning in the fruitful name of Jesus Christ. In ancient Greece, when an athlete wins a sporting event like running or throwing the discus or something like that, he didn't receive a gold medal like they do nowadays. He received a crown of laurel leaves, not the gold ones, but the regular leaves. Now, you may think that that's not a very valuable prize, but back then, that was a very desirable prize to get. The reason was is because it was a symbol of their god, Apollo, back then, who was always shown and characterized as having a crown of laurel leaves, usually gold like that. And he wore this headdress, I guess, to profess his love for Daphne. You can read about that in the myths. It was a great honor, though, to be crowned with a laurel wreath, a laurel crown, back then, to be like Apollo. Well, if an athlete just basked in the honor and the accomplishment of having won a particular competition, and he did no further training and competed in no further events, he was said to be resting on his laurels. If he did that, he would lose his competitive edge, his athletic edge. And as we know from today's sports figures, we can see that it would be easy for them to get out of shape and get flabby when they did that. He wouldn't remain a champion very long. Well, just as it can happen to our physical bodies, it can also happen to our spiritual selves as well. If we just glow in the accomplishment of some spiritual triumphs and rest on our spiritual laurels, as it were, we can become spiritually weak, and we can become vulnerable to the spiritual attacks from the world, from Satan, and from our own sinful selves. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me give you some examples. You know, someone once told me, actually it told me last week, one of the pastors that I was talking to, he said, you know, the average spiritual age of a Lutheran is 13. 13. Why 13? Because 13 is the typical age of a Lutheran who goes through confirmation. Beyond that, chances are they're going to stop growing. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? They may rest on their spiritual laurels of having accomplished, you know, gone through catechism and accomplished this spiritual triumph of confirmation, when in fact, that was just the beginning. They slack off from studying their Bibles anymore. They slack off coming to worship anymore, and so forth. Because, as they say, if you're not growing, you're going backward. You're falling behind. You're becoming spiritually flabby. And therefore, you're open much more to the temptations to fall away even further from your spiritual training. Unfortunately, too many Lutherans are like that. Actually, too many Christians are like that. But it doesn't have to be with established Christians. It can happen with new Christians too. You know, when you became a new Christian, you were all pumped up and you were happy that your sins were forgiven and that you're ready to explore this new life that you found out about, and you're ready to become part of the body of Christ and ready to get involved, and then things kind of wane. The enthusiasm wanes and people begin to rest on their spiritual laurels of what happened in the past. And they stop growing spiritually. As we say, if you're not growing, you're falling behind. You're going backward. You know, pastors can be susceptible to that too. And I'll speak for myself here. When I put together a sermon, I was telling the confirmation people a little while ago, when I put together a sermon, I know that it's the Holy Spirit that gives me the words that I write down so that I can say them to you. I know that I don't have any words within myself that are not given to me by God for the message. I am His messenger, just like Ezekiel was in our first lesson today. Now, if you appreciate what I say, and you tell me like at the door or somewhere else, I appreciate what you say. I appreciate you recognize that. However, if I start to think, I'm pretty good at this sermon thing, you know, then I stop knowing that it's God who gives me the words to say. And then I can begin resting on my spiritual laurels, so to speak. I would then begin to think, okay, now it's me that's got to come up with all of this every week. And then I would be guilty of pride and arrogance, and I would be dishonoring my God. I would then, quite frankly, be expected to fail. Because I don't ever want to be resting on my spiritual laurels. I want to rest on His spiritual laurels. You see the difference I'm talking about? And by the same token, I don't ever want to stop growing in my faith. I don't ever want to rely on my spiritual understanding. I want it to grow. I want it to expand. Because what does Proverbs 3 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Why is that important? Well, as I said, if we're not growing, we're moving backward. We're spiritually atrophying. Okay, our spiritual muscles are becoming weak. And then we become more vulnerable to the spiritual forces that are always working against us. You know, in our first lesson today from Ezekiel, God sent Ezekiel to be a messenger, and He set him as a watchman over Jerusalem, over Israel. Okay? Now, back then, a watchman, he would go up to a high tower, or maybe the top part of the wall that goes around the city, right? And he would look out, and he would watch and see who was approaching the city. If it was an attack that was approaching the city, he would sound the alarm so that the people could get up and defend themselves and they wouldn't be surprised. God wanted Ezekiel to sound the alarm because the enemy was already in the city. The enemy was already within the people in the city, its citizens. God wanted to warn them that they were resting on their spiritual laurels of being sons of Abraham, and they weren't paying attention to what was happening in the nation. They were being destroyed from within. And if that continued, they would die in their sin. And so God told Ezekiel to tell the people of Israel this: "As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, people of Israel?" Wow. What a strong, strong statement. What a strong warning that was. Notice that Ezekiel never said anything that was his own words. It was always God's words. Not resting on our laurels is important to us today, because God wants strong spiritual walls around each and every one of us. He knows that if we stop and we don't continue to exercise our spiritual muscles, that the walls around us will begin to become weak, and they will begin to crumble, and they will, you know, we will not have the ability to defend ourselves against the enemy. The enemy never rests, people, and neither should we. The time for resting is when we're in heaven, and in case you haven't noticed, this is not heaven. And so he sets a watchman to call out a warnings to us today, too. Pastors do that. The Holy Scripture does that. The Bible studies that we go to do that. Talking and discussing with other Christians does that. Maybe we have personal watch persons in our lives that do that, too. It's just as important that just like the city, the gates of a city were being watched so that the enemy couldn't get in, it's important that we watch the gates that we have in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. Okay? Because we all have gates, so to speak. Maybe it's the gates of stuff, you know, our possessions. We work to get more stuff and more possessions, because that's become important to us. But the problem is that we sometimes put that ahead of living for God, living for our families. Our walls become weak through materialism. Or maybe it's sex. How many families and how many Christian ministers have been ruined because that gate was not being watched like it should? You see, the enemy has all kinds of ways of testing the strength of any particular gate so that he can get through it, so that he can take over, so that he can cause our walls to crumble. Or maybe it's the gate of TV. Or maybe it's the gate of movies. Or maybe it's the gate of our friendships. Or maybe it's the gate of other relationships that we have. The enemy has all kinds of subtle ways that he can try to defeat our gates, so he can destroy our spiritual walls, and then in turn he can destroy us. We all have gates that are weaker than some of the others. We all have gates that are susceptible to those Trojan horses that he puts outside the gates. You know, Satan's appeal to us to open our gates at a particularly wrong time sounds so good, doesn't he? Especially if we're resting on our spiritual laurels and our past spiritual accomplishments. You know, especially if we're content with our own spiritual knowledge and our own level of spiritual growth. Well, how do we counteract these attacks? Well, first we have to realize that we can't let down our guard. We've got to be watchful. We can't rest on our laurels. And we can do that. One of the ways that we can do that is by resisting the temptation to slack off from our worship, right? Because worship is very, very beneficial to us. You know, hearing His word, singing His praises, fellowshipping with other believers, receiving His body and His blood as spiritual nourishment, all of those things build up our spiritual bodies and build up our resistance to temptations and to the attacks that we know will be coming. Have you ever noticed that if you come into worship and maybe you got a lot of things on your mind, you're really not into it, maybe you got a bad attitude or something when you come here, but then as the worship goes on, our souls become peaceful. Our souls become quiet. Our attitudes change as we're in here. You know, and sometimes God gives us the direction, answers the questions for us that we had when we came in. I've had a number of people tell me, oh man, I needed to hear that today because of whatever was happening in their life. God has a way of doing that for us. God has a way of building us up. That's part of what happens when we have a watchman on our side. The second thing is that we can do is be proactive. We can get into action, not resting on our laurels, but in action, in service to Him, part of God's larger workforce. Christian service is very important for building those spiritual muscles that we need to build up. Many Christians just rest on their spiritual laurels. And, you know, what happens when you do that? You end up complaining about the things that are going on. You know, it's the difference between working and criticizing those who are working. Action, Christian action, proaction, doesn't have to be a full-time job. But any way that we can help, any way that we can further the kingdom of God is what God wants us to do. Why we were planted here, as I told the children. Remember the parable that Jesus told today. He wants us to produce spiritual fruit, like the fig tree in His parable. He gives us many chances, like the vine dresser in the parable, but in the end, He wants fruit. He wants fruit, good fruit, fruit that will last, fruit in keeping with repentance, spiritual fruit. And we know what the spiritual fruit is in Galatians 5, we're told. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are many ways that Christians can produce that spiritual fruit. And there are many activities that Christians can become involved with to keep us on our prime, if you will. Helping others. You know, maybe helping with our worship here, because worship is so important. Helping set up or even start a Bible class. Working with someone who is a new Christian, whose walls are not as strong as yours are. Being a watchman for someone else. The question is, are you working or are you just attending church? Are you content with your spiritual progress? Or your spiritual growth? Or are you resting on your laurels? I hope you're not. I hope you're not resting on your laurels. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in our second lesson today. You see, the Corinthians were being attacked. They were under the full attack of the enemy. Because they were new Christians. And they were being bombarded by the world. The Christians in Corinth were surrounded by corruption. They were surrounded by every conceivable sin that you can imagine. And they felt the pressure of the world coming into them to take on the worldly view of things. Can anybody say political correctness? Their walls were not very strong. But Paul was a watchman for that church. And he wanted to give them examples of how the Israelites failed in the desert when they fled from Egypt as an example to them of what not to do. We see that in our lesson today from 1 Corinthians 10. Paul said to them, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the accumulation of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." If you're content with your spiritual growth, if you think you've done all that you need to do, be careful that you don't fall. Now, finally, I want to say it's okay to rest. It's okay to rest as long as you're resting on His laurels. And by that I mean resting on His accomplishments. The fact that He came to this earth, that He died on the cross, that He rose again from the dead to forgive our sins, to open the way to everlasting life for all of us. And that includes listening to Him when He sends us a message, listening to Him when He sends us a warning. Well, the message for today is produce fruit. Produce spiritual fruit. And we can't do that if we're resting on our laurels. Amen? Amen.